Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of Superhero Speak.
But I think many of the people that love this character and that love superheroes in general have used these stories as inspiration to say, you know what? I'm going to do something good in the world. I'm going to make a difference like my hero when I was a kid.
That is my fondest memory of it, because when you're doing comic books, you want them to affect people,
right?
You want people to care. You want to strike emotions. And I knew that Clone Saga was striking a lot of emotions.
Can you imagine Pulp Fiction starring Goofy and Mickey Mouse?
I can totally imagine that.
I'm sure somebody's written that one. Quarter pounder
with cheese in France, Mickey. Boy, ale with cheese. Yeah. I can totally
see.
I would watch the hell out of that movie.
Yes, I gladly sacrifice up my progeny to you, almighty Marvel beast.
But Neil Adams is somewhere going, it's my time.
How do you measure success?
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And John.
And JD.
And this might be John's last episode, everyone. Let's just put that out there now.
Hey, come on.
He doesn't understand pause on modern television, so...
You mean on the internet?
Oh, yeah, it's even worse.
And it's not a matter of whether or not I want to pause, it's whether... Well, yeah, that's exactly it. It's whether or not I want to pause.
It's exactly what it is. There is no question there. So how's everyone doing? How is everyone's week?
It's over already. It is Tuesday night as we record this, and my office is going to be deserted tomorrow. There's probably going to be early dismissal, and basically my week is done.
Wait a minute. Tomorrow's the 3rd, right?
Yes, it is.
So you don't just have off for the 4th, you have off...
Well, I have the 5th. I took the 5th off, and tomorrow's, early dismissal.
Oh.
And early dismissal for everybody at my office is usually around 2 o'clock, but since I go in at 6 o'clock, usually, for me, that's like 11. So, I'll basically work for a few hours in the morning, and then I'm done.
Yeah, you'll work. Put that over here for now.
No, I've got documentation to write. It's either that or I catch up on like I just shotgunned the entire series of Dororo, an anime, which is, it's actually got a pretty sweet premise that this baby's about to be born and the parents give him away to demons. The demons each take a piece of him, and he's this legless, skinless, eyeless, earless, noseless thing. That slowly fights to kill all the demons to get all of his pieces back.
Ah, sounds like good, wholesome family entertainment.
Oh, very wholesome. Invite the kids. I'm sure they will love it. You know, specifically, the decapitations are just done so well that kids will really understand how it works. So, yeah.
That's a learning tool. Okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Teachable moments. This is how you skip the 3rd rib to get into the heart. Now, So yeah, it was actually really as good as I had heard. But yeah, the rest of this weekend we'll probably be writing and catching up on other anime. How about you, Dave? How's the weather?
Well, we've got a thunderstorm going here that just left your air neck of the woods.
Yeah, we noticed when we lost power.
But yeah, I mean, other than that, you know what? I had today off, I'll have tomorrow off,
yeah,
I'll have the rest of the week off, I might have all of next week off as well, yeah.
Jeez, get a job.
I'm so trying.
Paige, we have a Patreon. If you'd like to support Dave, then donate.
Yeah, for those who don't know, and I'm sure you've seen it in the news by now, that the refinery I work at Philadelphia.
It blew up,
and then...
It blew up, yes.
And the Wednesday after it blew up, they decided, you know what, we had enough, we're closing down, everyone, you don't have a job anymore. And
sketchy.
And also they said, by the way, we have no money, so you don't get any severance either.
Sketchy.
Corporate America.
Yeah, so, looking out for the little people so that they can screw them at every turn.
So, I mean, there's a, I will say this, there's a lot of things behind that. But at the same time, if they had no money, that means things were way worse than they were leading on to everyone for the longest time. And really, long story short, there's a group of employees, I'm involved with it too, that we now have a class action lawsuit. Because in the state of Pennsylvania, if you're laid off, and your company isn't closing, you're required to get 2 weeks notice or 2 weeks severance. And if you're laid off because your company is closing, it's supposed to be 60 days. And, obviously they did not do that.
So. Laws are for peasants. Let's make this topical. During the explosion, did anybody fall into a radioactive pool of oil?
No, unfortunately. Damn. I was kind of hoping for that, you know.
Missed another chance, Dave.
We could have Oil Man fighting for us.
Yeah.
Just a huge lawsuit, one or the other.
It's true.
So that's been my week. So basically, yes, I'm looking for a job now. And how about you, JD? Anything exciting?
Finished a book today.
Reading or writing?
Yeah, writing, I'm going to say.
8 in just under 2 years. So now I'm going to start my marketing class tomorrow and get on starting to sell these things.
How many pages did you write for this book, and how long did it take you to write this one?
Pages are weird because, like, page counts, like, vary depending on every whatever.
So, I usually count, like, 300 words per page because I think the standard is, like, 270 or 280 or something.
So it's 68,000 words, this one. The books I'm running bounce between, like, 65 and 85,000, depending. Huh. So they're decent, not super long. Like, I think I'm still too comics brain where I get to the point probably a little bit faster than a lot of most novelists do, probably. You know, because in comics writing, you're taught to, you know, just get to the point. So I probably got a little bit of that still in me.
But, I mean, who needs buildup?
Well, it's not just that. Background. It's just, you know, you just get to, I mean, I don't know, just my style. So, but yeah, man, it's going good. I feel good about this one. I'm going to take a little break now and start really focusing on the business aspect of it while I bought some talking type software to try to up my speed a little bit. So I'm going to play with that. I'm going to try to speak a little short story while I'm at this national tournament for the next couple weeks.
Maybe take a look around, figure out who's president now. I mean.
Well, I know. Believe me, I know. I'm doing all right.
The only thing I found, I thought of that once and I was trying to use the speak software, but like having to do punctuation was annoying.
So here's what I did a thing on that. I took a little, not a class so much as like a quick tutorial. And what they recommend is don't worry about punctuation because you're always going to rewrite it anyway. If you can remember period, fine. If not, don't worry about it. And if you can remember new line, because that just breaks the line, that or new paragraph, that's fine. They said the way to do it, because everybody overthinks it. And I did it with the first couple wrestling articles I wrote last week. I wrote 4 in my first week. And 3 of the 4 were spoken. And what's cool about this Dragon software that I own is it actually has a transcription feature, so I don't have to sit at my desk. Like, I just talked into my phone like I would do like a reaction podcast, and I just uploaded the MP3 file, and it transcribed it. And, of course, it sucked, but I just went through it, and it's way easier to edit that second draft than it is to write the first.
Interesting.
Yeah, and
Dragon Naturally Speaking has been around for a long time.
It has. I picked up Dragon 15, which is the one that has the transcription feature, because I figure, like, it's going to be, you know, with the 3-year-old and all, my time is divided quite often. But if I'm sitting in the car, it's much easier to speak for 20 minutes and knock out 2,000-3,000 words than it is for me to sit and write that down. Mm. So, like I said, because the first draft sucks anyway, so why not just have a sucky first draft that I talked instead of typed?
Interesting. I'll have to try that now.
I'm gonna, like I said, I'm gonna do this. I'm doing my little 400 word articles with it, and it's so far so good. Next couple weeks, I'm gonna try a short story, and I'll let you know how it goes.
Cool, awesome. I think a lot of writers would be interested in that.
Yeah, it's cool, man. It's cool. It's amazing the stuff you can find if you hang out in the right Facebook group.
See, I don't know that could work for a lot of people. Like for me, you wouldn't even be able to edit it because I cannot speak the way. My brain does not connect to my mouth the way it connects to me typing for some reason.
That's the hard part. Is like, 'cause I'm the same way. It's really like I'm teaching, like, I have to teach myself how to do this, you know? But, like, it's my first drafts all suck anyway. I barely, like, my brain moves faster than my fingers, so, like, I miss words and stuff like that all the time. Like, my first drafts are abysmal. But they're abysmal. All first drafts are abysmal. So my thought is, well, I'm just sucking in a different way than I normally suck.
Sean, you just realized you said that your mouth and brain aren't connected. I just...
Yes, I fully realize what I said. Trust me. I mean, have you heard me on the podcast? I mean, cripes.
So you were about to say something about Facebook groups, JD.
I was. I got a little bit more deeply involved in our Facebook group, which is called... Dave, can I hit a pause here so I can actually get the name? Can
we edit this? The Superhero Speak Hangout.
Couldn't remember. We need to edit. Everybody knows that we're never like ready.
I'm a perfectionist, a half-assed perfectionist, but no, it's cool. Like, we actually have a Facebook group where I've been a little more active, and we got about 100 people in it right now, and we're trying to grow. So we're inviting you guys, not just because Twitter can be a horrible, horrible place. So these Facebook groups are a little bit more co-inducive to real conversations. Like, I've shared a couple articles and one of my rants that I wrote last week, and we get trying to get some real good conversation going. So carry over what we're doing here on the podcast onto the Facebook group. Please,
yes,
join.
Yes, and we're going to try to push it more going forward. We'll... Like, when we ask you guys questions on the show, we want you to try to go there to answer. And yeah, it is a great place to interact. And yeah, Twitter's a tough place.
Twitter sucks.
There's a lot of angry people on Twitter.
Yeah,
so,
I think.
So speaking of which, why don't we go straight to social media madness? We had talked about Ironheart joining the MCU, right? You guys remember that?
Sure.
And listener Skiznot.
Sounds like Carney.
Yes. I thought he bumped into her in Infinity War. And yes, if they were thinking long term, she could have been the kid in Iron Man 3. Regardless, if they are doing a legacy story with Ironheart, Harley should be involved at some level. Maybe he could be the Pepper.
Well, that's a tough one.
I don't know. The Pepper wasn't.
I think he meant his. Like, I think he means Tony could be Pepper, the Pepper Potts.
Okay.
Which I think that in Ironheart, he's like the consciousness, the Jarvis, if you will.
Yes.
The Obi-Wan Kenobi, but I mean, like, Iron Man 3 predates Ironheart, so can't see into the future.
No, you cannot.
Well, Doctor Strange can, but...
Yes, but Kevin Feige has almighty powers, but seeing into the future, not one of them. That we know of.
Usually Not Here said, I don't think she should be included. She isn't popular enough, nor does she have an interesting enough storyline to adapt.
That's what they said about the Guardians of the Galaxy.
So it would have to be done from scratch. Her origin story involves... her stealing, so it may be problematic, and that's in quotes, to use that origin overall not worth it, I think is what he meant, or they meant.
I don't agree with that. Any character's worth it if you can find a story to tell about him. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Dave.
The problem with Ironheart is a problem with a lot of these characters, and the fact that it's just a hand-me-down kind of character.
We call them legacy characters.
I guess legacy. But there's so many other, you know, characters they can bring in and use. Like, I don't know. She's not an interesting character to me, you know? It's just a girl in the Iron Man suit. Oh, whoopee. You know, like, there's nothing unique or special about it. But
I don't know the character well enough to argue you the point with you. That said, I would love to see... something more done with Shuri of Black Panther, like Black Panther's sister. She is an interesting character.
Right.
And she was more than just, but she at first is just the girl in the Black Panther suit. And I think, like I said, under the right creator or someone who sees something in the character, you can bring something out. Because who thought Drax the Destroyer had an interesting story? Or Rocket Raccoon? You know, you find the right guy, you find the right girl, you find the right creator, they can bring it out of him. So I'm not opposed to it. I just want to see something.
Right. But again, also, if Robert Downey Jr. is truly done with the movies, then how do you do Ironheart without him as an AI? You know, because that's kind of what they did in the books.
Right. And I think you'd probably get a War Machine, to be quite frank, before you'd get an Ironheart.
Yeah. Okay. This was an interesting one. So we had talked about the Ezra Miller Flash movie. Apparently isn't dead. And Chappie said, I desperately want a Flash movie. Just not this Flash movie. Might be cool to see a Wally West as the Flash set after the death of Barry Allen. We've had a lot of Barry Allen's Flash lately. Could be a palate cleanser.
Well, after Wally West just killed a whole bunch of heroes in Heroes in Crisis, yeah, sure, let's do him.
So let's not go there, because Wally West is a lot of people's favorite Flash.
I know.
I think that's going to end up being retconned before you know it.
They're doing something. They're going to do something. They announced a story. They announced a, not a tie-in, but like a post-Heroes in Crisis series. I forget off the top of my head who's writing it, but there's going to be Wally trying to repair. It might be something to do with him and the Suicide Squad. I forget what.
Okay.
But they are going to deal with it.
Right. So yeah. And it could be interesting, but I don't know how you do. You can't start with the death of Barry Allen without having, you know, Barry Allen be a hero in the universe, but
we shall see. True.
And I kind of think that's what they're doing next season on Flash TV show.
What?
Wally West Flash?
That Barry's going to disappear in a crisis.
No, he's not. They've already set up that Arrow's going to die for that and keep him from disappearing.
I don't know about that.
I don't know, unless you've heard that Grant Gustin said something or somebody said something about his contract.
I can't remember the details. Darn. This just happened that it was announced that the second or third episode of next season of The Flash, the title of it is the same title of the book of the issue where Flash disappeared in Infinite Crisis.
Okay, but I don't see them pulling that off in this, because they've already set it up to save him. I mean, maybe he goes away for like a few episodes and then comes back. I don't know, because they've done that before.
Right. This is true. All right. And then Nook App said, nothing against Ezra. I like the guy, but he just isn't the right for this, in my opinion. Maybe it's being such a fan of the CW's Flash, hashtag respect, but to me, he misses the mark as much as any actor comic character combination all time.
I don't disagree with that. Ezra Miller's Barry Allen doesn't feel like Barry Allen to me.
No, he doesn't.
No.
That's all I can say. It was a caricature. It felt like a caricature of Flash, you know, as much as that makes sense.
Well, and that's why a lot of people thought he was going to be Wally West, because they had Barry on the TV show, and they thought, oh, well, maybe they're going to do something different in the movie, but they didn't. All right. Then we have one of the most popular stories of the week, guys. We had talked about Vertigo is going away and technically being replaced by Black Label, DC Black Label. But Ghost in the Stratosphere said, the book quality matters, not the imprint or whatever.
No kidding.
But the book quality depends on whether the imprint is allowing for that book quality, right?
Also no kidding.
This is true. I think, and so another thing that was said is, so Pino Comics, John from Pino Comics said, I think we're misrepresenting the creation of Black Label as replacement for Vertigo. The resonant history of the Weisenhouse will come out in the
Didiot, I believe he's pronouncing it. Like as
Didiot
like,
Wash eventually, okay.
Combining Didio and Idiot, which is very creative. Hashtag not really. I agree with you. I like your response, Dave. And I find it interesting that just last week they also announced that Joe Hill is one of my favorite writers, is going to be spearheading a horror line of comics, original horror line of comics, not in the DC universe, but being published by DC Comics. Books that very easily have had that Vertigo tag with them.
Right. Because it kind of felt like, and my response is basically, yes, it doesn't feel like Black Label's really replacing it, but It felt like Black Label's concentrating mainly on the main DC characters, where Vertigo was free to explore and bring in, you know, different stories from the outside. But it looks like you just corrected me there, right? But if that's going to be Black Label stuff.
No, it's not going to be Black Label. I forget the name of Joe Hill's imprint. I forget what it's going to be, but it's going to be his own. I can look it up real quick. But it's going to be his own, like, kind of like what Gerard Way, I don't know if he's still doing it, but what he did with Young Animal. It's going to be the same thing. Like, he's going to spearhead a horror line of comics.
Interesting.
Entitled. Come on, Google, work with me here.
You sure Dirk Manning and that crew doesn't have anything to do with this?
Hill House Comics. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Mm. I mean, they haven't announced anything yet, but Joe Hill is going to kind of spearhead it up. But again, Hill House is kind of cool. It's kind of cool because I love Joe Hill. But again, these are books that would have been Vertigo, which begs the question of why kill Vertigo then.
Right. And it's doubly so because, like, a couple of lines down from what we're looking at now on our, you know, on our list is that the Sandman TV show is greenlit.
Yes.
Okay, you kill the imprint, then you take the IP and give it to a place where we're probably just going to see Sandman's butt now, and then you create a TV show out of it? When you could have used the TV show as a vehicle to point people at Vertigo and bring them back into the fold?
Could be.
Am I missing something?
We'll get to Sandman in a minute. Liv Laugh Like said, I'll miss the Vertigo imprint, but I can see the logic behind this move. Rebranding under a consistent age-based scheme, DC Kids, DC, and DC Black Label, could make it easier for new readers as well as for parents who want to get new books for younger readers. And well, I see the logic there, and I kind of agree with that, you know?
I don't disagree with that in theory. But Vertigo was supposed to be something different.
Right. Yes. It was for the grown-ups of us, you know?
And not superhero stuff.
And then finally, AJ said, 10 years ago, I would have wept at the loss of Vertigo. But they firmly destroyed that label to the point where it has no great loss. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I wouldn't say 10 years ago, but definitely since the end of Scalped.
Yeah.
I don't think Vertigo has had the same cachet. I think a lot of it has to do with, like, them axing Karen Berger. So they didn't have that. And then Shelley Bond was on and she was gone. And Jamie Rich was on and they moved him into the superhero books. And it never quite had that solid leadership that it had before. So there's something to that.
Yeah. I also don't think they, you know, when you don't have a ton of new and weird stories coming in, but I don't know why. You know what I'm saying? Did they stop that? Was it not making money? You know?
It probably wasn't making money. The direct market is fickle, and the only thing it really wants to support are superhero books.
Right.
And so that's a big part. I remember 10 years ago when Bill Willingham was talking about the only way Vertigo made money was on its collections.
Yeah. Yeah, this is... It's sad what's happening to the comic book industry. And then finally, we had talked about J.J. our favorite story last week, J.J. Abrams' son writing Spider-Man. God of Coffee said, not many, being kind, none, startup writers get Spider-Man as their first comic book gig. He could be talented, but frankly, due to the nature of this, we will not know, as it is obvious that he's getting this due to his father's fame. So yeah, nepotism, frankly.
Way more eloquent way of saying what I said last week.
Well, better than a bunch of snarls and raspberries, yeah, I guess.
That's exactly how he said it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, wow. It's funny because I saw a sneak peek of it, but it's artwork. It's like, he's not doing the art, he's writing it. They're really going to push this book.
They're probably spending a lot of money on it, to be honest with you. Maybe not a lot, but, you know, I bet a good amount of money.
Yeah.
Just get your popcorn and be ready.
Ready for what?
For it to hit that 20-cent bin 2 years from now.
Ready to read the reviews when they come out.
Oh, it'll be fine. Whoever's going to edit it's going to rewrite it to the point where it's good enough, and people forget about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be... It's not going to be your you know, Kraven's Last Hunt. It's not, you know, or the Clone Saga. I know a lot of people don't like the Clone Saga, but it's not going to be any of your classic Spider-Man stories.
Superman, was it Superior Spider-Man?
I like that one.
Yeah, a lot of people like that one.
It's going to be a mini-series. They're going to introduce some, I forget the name of the character, but he's got like some 90s-sounding villain name. It'll just be a regular mini-series. And it's going to be fine. It's not going to have really impact, in a way, impact on continuity. It's just going to, it's just a great example of Marvel trying to make a quick buck off a famous director's name in a story that's going to have absolutely no ramifications and that the market probably is going to give a shit about.
Yeah. All right. Well, that does it for all our social media madness for the week. Speaking of social media, don't forget to check out our fellow podcasts in the Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network. And they, of course, include, I got so wizards, Gorilla Brain Podcast, Pop Prism Power Podcast, Cult 45, I know I'm forgetting, Fans on Patrol, and I know I'm forgetting someone.
So Wizard?
Did I say So Wizard? Okay, So Wizard. So, yes, don't forget to check out those podcasts. And you can listen to all of these great podcasts on PodCoin. Yes, PodCoin is the podcast app that pays you to listen. So, you know, check it out. You can listen to all these great podcasts. You can find any podcast you like, listen to it on PodCoin, and you'll receive PodCoins. You earn enough of them, you can trade them in for things like Amazon and Starbucks gift cards, or you can turn them into charity and be a good person and use it to help others. And if you sign up today, go to the App Store, download PodCoin, sign up, and use our code HEROSPEAK, you will get 300 PodCoins free on us. So check it out today, PodCoin. All right, and on that note, boys and girls, we're going to take a quick break for some ads, and we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
All right, we're back, and it is time.
Ads pay the bills.
Yeah, you gotta pay the bills, right? I have to pay the bills now, especially. In fact, everyone, download this episode 100 times for me on different apps. Devices and whatnot, so that we can earn money for that.
We should do what Philip DeFranco does. But one of his episodes, he actually threatened to throw punch people, and he got twice the likes.
Yes.
Now he says it every
yes, but I have a feeling if we threaten to throat punch people, we will get throat punched. People like Philip DeFranco.
You ever see Dog Day Afternoon? It's like that, but in podcast form.
Yes. All right, I think it's time for the news. All right, starting off with some Marvel news. Recently, the Russos were having an interview, and they basically talked about the alternate branch timeline issue with Captain America. And basically, long story short, even though the writers of the movie are saying that he didn't go on a separate branch, he was in our timeline the whole time, the Russo brothers are saying, oh, no, he did create a separate time branch. And basically even said that he had to use Pym particles to get back to our time. So it feels like they're trying to say there might be another story in there somewhere. What did you guys think? Did you have a chance to look at the story?
Yeah, briefly.
The way they were treating how time travel works, he would have created a new timeline,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise there would have been two of them in this timeline, and there wasn't.
Right, exactly. That's the whole thing. Is the writers are saying, oh no, he went back in time when he was frozen, and you know he just lived out his life as old Cap. While young Cap was running around and fighting, and the Russo brothers were like, oh, no, he created a separate timeline. So
yeah, because otherwise the way they were using time travel, it wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
Because then you're in the type of time travel where you go back in time and you will see yourself, and
right.
you're still in your original timeline, which he obviously wasn't.
No, exactly. And I think, and it's funny because a lot of these interviews are coming up now because, you know, they re-released the movie with some extra footage to try to beat Avatar. But I kind of feel like maybe Marvel has something up their sleeves with all of this. Again, nothing is done by accident, right, in these movies.
I think that this reads kind of like Kevin Feige's version of the old Mark Gruenwald Marvel time rules, where if you travel back in time, it does create an alternate timeline.
Okay.
And that's literally how Marvel time travel worked from the beginning. So I think this is Kevin Feige kind of incorporating the way Marvel's always done things into the movies. And now what per se and what Kevin Feige says is something else. I mean, Joss Whedon still says that Coulson's dead. You know,
right.
He wrote that script. He directed the movie. He says Coulson's dead.
I refuse to believe that.
Jeff Loeb from Marvel Television says Coulson's not dead. The movie, I don't know. Movies haven't really given us an answer to think otherwise. But, I mean, Feige's the boss. So whatever he says is.
Yeah, exactly. So look for Captain America 4. I mean, sorry.
When does Chris Evans want to buy a boat?
Yeah, that's true.
It's a good question. Probably in a couple years, he'll want a boat.
He's going to have a daughter that needs to go to college or something like that.
There is also that, right? Private school ain't cheap.
Yeah. Speaking of which.
Public school ain't cheap.
No, it's not. You mentioned that they had re-released Endgame with some extra footage in it in order to try and surpass Avatar. And the last numbers that I can find are that they're short by 18 million, which
yes.
Doesn't seem like a whole lot unless you think in terms of sometimes 18 million is all a movie will gross.
So remember the crazy rumor that was around with Captain Marvel, where people were trying to claim Marvel was buying up tickets. But the theaters were still empty and blah, 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 so that it would do well, which is stupid because, you know, in the long run, why would you do that? You're just buying, you know what I'm saying? You're not making money. So it's stupid. It's a dumb accounting trick that doesn't really work. However,
in some ways, but
I think in this situation, they should buy $18 million worth of tickets worldwide.
Because in the grand scheme of things, $18 million ain't that much.
Exactly. Oh. After the movie's already made $2 billion, $18 million isn't so much, Marvel. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Come on now.
One of your executives can walk into a movie theater and accidentally trip and empty his pockets, right? I mean, come on.
That's like Feige's weekly salary. Come on now.
He's got that Bill Gates money where if you stop working to pick up a dollar, you lose money.
Yes. Yeah. Hell, you stop to pick up a $100 bill and you lose money.
Gross.
But yeah, it doesn't seem – well, I mean, it's still in theaters, right? So – and this is July 4th weekend, and it's a long weekend for a lot of people. So maybe it is.
But here's the problem. And I don't know if they timed this very well because now they're competing with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what – I thought they would have waited till after Spider-Man had a decent run
and then re-released it. But they don't really – but, I mean, Marvel's not in control of the Spider-Man release. Sony is. Like, Marvel just produces that movie. They don't actually distribute it.
Right.
Mm. So, everybody, there was this thing back in my day called a double feature. It requires you not to drink as much Coke as you want to. But you can make it through two movies. Trust me.
That's almost 6 hours of movies, John.
Damn it, John. I think I'm willing to take that challenge.
I am willing to take that challenge. And it's, Dave, it's not 6 hours of movies. It's 6 hours of Marvel.
True. Oh, true. All right. I'm probably seeing Spider-Man tomorrow afternoon. So
that's what I'm doing.
I'm going tonight after the show, after we're done with the show.
Uh-huh. Really?
I'm stupid.
Well, guess what we're talking about next week, boys and girls?
You're damn straight.
Awesome.
All right. Speaking of Marvel and things to talk about, Zoe Saldana, I always say her name wrong.
Zoe Saldana.
She wants to explore Gamora's dark side in Guardians 3. I kind of find this intriguing, right? Because Gamora actually did have a dark side before she teamed up with the Guardians. She was on board for helping Thanos, you know, fulfill his destiny, as it were. And that works now. If we taking the Gamora out of time and moving her forward, you could explore her dark side. What do you guys think about that?
Well, it's Gamora before she got with Star-Lord. So, yeah.
I don't think she was on board with helping Thanos so much as she didn't see an out. And when she met Quill, she finds an out. But this is a pre-redemption
yes.
Gamora. And I thought about that, too, when she showed up in Endgame. I think that makes for a very good story. Like, as from a writer's perspective, if you got this woman that you Star-Lord perspective, you got this woman you're in love with, but it's not the same person. Like, elements of her are there, but our experiences make us who we are. And if you take away several of those experiences, what you love is just a figment or a shadow of something. I mean, there's a lot you can do with that. I hope that's exactly what they do.
It's going to be heart-wrenching, too, because, like, if you were hoping for them to stay together, well, I mean, now you get to see what the chances are of, like, if you don't hit the exact right circumstances, do you go with the do you still wind up with the person that you love? Or is it just basically the circumstances that created that?
Great questions.
Wow. That's kind of deep, that. John. I think you need to take another shot.
I have been taking a lot of shots. I mean, speaking as someone who's basically danced between the raindrops of chances to be with somebody good.
We're getting deeply personal here, folks.
No. So, you know, you think about that, right? If things didn't happen exactly in a certain way, would you end up with the person that you end up with?
No.
See, I'd say the same about my two marriages. So, which actually was unfortunate.
I'd say yes, but I'm a hopeless romantic in some ways.
Ah, well, that is true.
I would like to side with you. I just...
I know. The genius.
Anyway, yeah, me too. So anyway, yeah, Gamora, they now have a very fertile and large field to play with about what they do with her next and how her and Star-Lord interact.
Yeah, and that's true. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not a huge Guardians of the Galaxy comic book fan, but they're not a couple in the comics.
No.
Like, that was...
It might be now, but I mean, right, that's pure gun.
Right. Like, that's a relationship that was invented for the movies. And
in the comics, Gamora's with, what's his guy?
Adam Warlock, right?
Adam Warlock.
No, I thought maybe she might be with him, but she was really in love with the guy with the helmet, the star on it. I forget what his name is.
Nova.
Nova, yeah, yeah.
You're right.
I thought they were an item.
So that's what I'm wondering now, too. If they're bringing in Nova and Adam Warlock.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be painful.
Yes.
Romantic in me is going to die again.
There's so much good. There's so much cool stuff to write about with these possibilities. I'm very excited to see what James Gunn does now that he's back in the driver's seat.
It'll be interesting. And speaking of interesting, so we talked about the Ironheart possibility as a rumor that's kind of was started by Robert Downey Jr. The other big rumor that's been floating around on the internet for a while is that Killmonger is going to return somehow to the MCU, which I don't know how you bring people back from the dead, but they brought Coulson back.
Hold on, I'll tell you. And Loki, technically.
Finger snaps, brother, finger snaps.
Yeah.
But Feige addressed these rumors recently. In an interview,
he just laughed maniacally and turned and walked away.
So speaking on Ironheart, he said, "I think it's a great character, and it's been fun to see how she evolves in the comics. I just saw that quote too, but again, the future." ..
That's a very polite way of saying we don't got nothing right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's no plans to use her anytime coming up. So sometime in the future. Speaking on Killmonger returning to Black Panther, he said it's pure rumor. The honest answer is that pure rumor and speculation, because Mr. Coogler is just only in recent weeks sitting down at his keyboard and beginning to outline the movie. It's early, so nothing is set yet in any way that far, because Mr. Kugler is sitting down and will share it with Nate Moore and myself in coming weeks.
I mean, I don't know what Kugler's got in store, so I'm trying to walk down the middle.
Exactly. And again, because of the finger snaps, they could bring him back. We shall see. I think Black Panther has plenty of other villains that we can play around with in the comics. So we shall see where this goes.
Namor. Namor.
I think we need to save him for the Fantastic Four.
You know, they just did a Namor versus Aquaman death battle on YouTube, and Aquaman creamed him.
That is very revisionist history. Up until 1 year ago, nobody gave a crap about Aquaman.
Yeah, nobody still does after, well, actually, the women do, but...
You got a big, sexy Samoan guy playing him. Everyone love him now.
Yeah, I gotta say I love him too. Who doesn't love Jason Momoa? I'd have a beer with him. Are you kidding me?
I totally would have a beer with Jason Momoa. I can't even drink beer. I poop myself, but I still would.
I could just get lost in his big, beautiful eye. Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Let's be real. As one sexy dude.
Yes. Yes, he is. Oh, wait. What? Yeah, so I mean, we'll see. I don't think you're going to bring Killmonger back right away for the next movie anyway, right? Because who wants to see a repeat of the previous movie?
Right, and he had such a great character arc. Like, I still believe Thanos had a pretty good one, but I think that he's probably Marvel's second best villain now. Why ruin it? Like, I relate this to we talked about Kraven's Last Hunt. Nothing Marvel's done with Kraven in the comics since bringing him back has come near to that great story. Why ruin it?
Right. Yeah. Especially for something as finite as it's not like with the comics, you know, after like 20 years, you're going to like recycle some stuff. But with the movies, no, just let it be. Just once, just let it be what it is. Just a perfect encapsulated storyline.
Yes.
Reboot it.
Oh, so sad.
Reboot everything, damn it.
And our final Marvel story for the week. Strap in, boys and girls. Marvel Zombies is coming back in October. Was anyone looking forward to this?
No.
Not really. I mean, I'm actually reading Deceased, but...
Is that difficult, reading Deceased?
Yeah, it's written in a dead language, makes you feel really sleepy. And
It's like the dad jokes are just pouring out of the two of you.
Yeah.
We are dads.
Was. But, I don't know. I don't have any, I'm not the Marvel guy anyway, so what do you guys think?
Yeah, no.
Okay, that's not good for Marvel.
The zombie thing is so played out.
Yeah, and it was so played out in the Marvel Universe. I mean, you know, because, like, then every character became a zombie character. You know, you had some zombie Galactus. It was just like, come on, this is stupid at this point. It's ridiculous.
So what's next? Like, sparkly zombies or sparkly? I mean, we go back to vampires? I mean, there's going to be a next wave of something, right? I mean, somehow.
Well, I mean, this makes me wonder if it's in answer to Image announcing that next week is going to be the last issue of Walking Dead.
I think the timing just makes both stories very coincidental. Like, I don't think they could react to something that quickly. Maybe I'm wrong, but that sure seems more coincidental than anything to me.
Yeah, and it probably is. But that's the thing, is the zombie thing is so played out that they're ending Walking Dead.
It really is. I mean, it's like vampires, right? And that even goes for, like, literature. Because there was like, 15, 20 years ago, up until maybe 5 years ago, there were a lot of vampires in books. And have slowly started going away for other stuff. Now,
there's so many.
I know.
books, zombie, like there's post-apocalyptic genre is a big money genre. There are so many zombie books.
Well, you know what's big in the books now, which maybe this is the next stage for comics, is werewolves. Like every urban fantasy book I pick up now has werewolves in it. And like their main characters, and they rewrite the entire mythology of werewolves, and you know what they're immune to and everything, and of course they're always hunks, and women are always attracted to them, and that goes for both the urban fantasies that are actually just Harlequin in disguise, and for the real ones.
John, allow me to say, not always. More on that later.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Alrighty.
So since we're on zombies real quick, what do you guys think about The Walking Dead announcing that Kirkman is ending it after all these years? And
never watched it, never going to watch it, don't care.
I'm not talking about the TV show, I'm talking about the comic.
Never read it, never going to read it, don't care.
I kind of feel like they might be tied in somehow, like they might be getting ready to end the show, so they decided to end the comic.
I got thoughts on this. Like, I did a seminar with Robert Kirkman in 2010, just before the show launched. We read the first trade of Walking Dead, and I didn't like it. I'm one of the few people I know who really didn't like the Walking Dead comic. Like, people like are up in arms about the show all the time, but the comic is usually fairly praised. I thought it was very nihilistic and depressing. And when we heard Kirkman speak, someone asked him, do you have an end game planned? And he said, no, I really don't. I'll figure that out when we get closer to it. And that just made me so depressed to hear that, to hear the creator say, no, I don't have the end in mind. And it just made me really feel like that it just kind of confirmed my thought of it was nihilism for the sake of nihilism. So I never watched the show. I never read another issue of the comic because I felt like, just hearing him say it, and I could be completely wrong about this, and in the years since, I'm sure he's pivoted from that. But it just felt to me like it wasn't going to go anywhere. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but again, it's a nearly 10-year-old thought of mine. That said, Robert Kirkman was making indie comics in an era where people weren't making indie comics, and that dude did nothing but make money and turn himself into a machine. So I have nothing but respect for that guy.
Yeah, I agree with you. If you couch it in those terms, that if he never had in his head a payoff for all the misery and suffering he was putting his characters through, then what's the point except for being a nihilistic, masochistic person, right?
Well, and
that's how I felt.
And the thing is too, like, okay, so none of us are current readers of the comic, apparently. And the thing is, like, from everything I'm reading, this was a surprise. He basically just came out and said, yeah, 193 is the last issue. Which makes me think that, okay, there's nothing in this book that was leading up to a possible cure, a possible way to end the zombies, apocalypse, which tells me this book's going to end with the main characters just getting killed, and that's it, and it's going to be over.
So basically Night of the Living Dead all over again.
Right, and then it's like, I have to ask, and I'm asking this to every person out there who listens to this show, who is a fan of the comic. How do you feel about that concept? And again, I haven't read the book. It actually, I think comes out this week or next week. So, after we're done recording, so there's no way we could have read it. But if it ends with them just killing off the characters, how does it feel that you followed these characters all these years, and then it's just like, they're just dead. It's just over. Like, does that make you happy? Is that a satisfying ending to this?
There was no point to all of the suffering except for the suffering itself.
Right.
It said nihilism for the sake of nihilism. Again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was more than that, but I agree with Dave. But maybe we could talk about it on Superhero Speak Hangout on Facebook.
Yes, that's what I was getting at. Let us know on Facebook and our lovely hangout. All are welcome. Some are served. All right. Let's talk a little about DC and the fun and exciting news that Neil Gaiman's Sandman is coming to Netflix. I don't know. Like, can it be made into a TV show? And if so, is Netflix the right home for it?
Anything can be made into a TV show Netflix losing all their Marvel stuff, I guess this means that Netflix still wants to be in the superhero game, even slightly, even though Sandman's not really part of that genre. But yeah, I mean, how can you say no to Neil Gaiman, though?
Amazon Prime didn't. Good Omens is killing it right now for them. Oh,
God, that was so good. Yes. So, yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. I mean, as soon as it comes out, that'll be on my list.
Me too. I mean, like, no, you can't go through your favorite works of Vertigo without mentioning Sandman. Like, I really like those early Sandman books, too, where it was still kind of horror-ish before they really kind of settled into the fantasy genre. So, I mean, like, I want to see the tone that they take, and if it starts off a little eerie and then settles into being more fantastic. I don't know. I'm fired up. I'm cautiously optimistic to see what they do.
Okay.
What do you think, John? Dave? Explain it.
I don't know. I think I'd have to watch it, right? Because I kind of feel the way about Sandman, the way I kind of feel about Watchmen. Like, they did their best to make that into a movie, but it didn't work for me. I think it worked so much better as a comic. That's kind of how I feel about Sandman. I don't see how you can get all of those visuals, make it not feel Uncanny Valley, not make feel like you're just watching a bunch of special effects, have it feel real and tangible, and yet it's all fantasy, right? It's all dreams. It's all, you know, weird stuff. So
I think in a post Game of Thrones world, though, I don't know if that's going to be that hard to pull that off if you have the budget.
Yeah, that's true. But that's the next question, too. What kind of budget is your show going to have?
Well, it's Netflix, so it should have a pretty damn good budget.
Really?
Especially when they have the Marvel shows. I mean, Sandman's got a lot of cachet behind it. I mean, they could look at Stranger Things. Stranger Things has a budget, and those duffers had nothing before that show came around.
Yep.
True.
It's Neil Gaiman we're talking about.
And then my final question on it is, why isn't this going on the DC app?
I think we know the answer to that question.
Well, okay.
Oh, I think Neil Gaiman owns Sandman. I believe that's creator owned.
I just checked the Sandman FAQ that was written by Neil Gaiman. And no, DC owns the rights to Sandman, not him.
Then that is a question.
Yeah. That's a really good question. I don't know. The DC app, eventually the Warner Brothers app, if they fold in the DC stuff. So we shall see. I mean, the only thing is maybe Netflix offered a crap load of money to produce this, and DC's like, oh, cool, we don't have the money to do it on our own right now, so this will work to get it out there for people. I don't know.
Justice League must have buried them in debt.
No. So remember last week we said that they were possibly making a Flash movie? It looks like they may have found a director. So Andy Muschietti, who was the director of It, is apparently on the short list to direct the Flash movie. So I don't know what else he's done besides It.
It. Oh, yeah, that's it.
But I don't know. Is this a new? Because it seems like who's the director of Shazam?
Oh God!
Because he also did horror movies. So is that going to be DC's new go-to? Find horror movie directors to do their movies.
All right, I'll throw one at
David Sandberg.
What did Richard Donner do? What movie did Richard Donner make just before Superman?
Who cares? Is that the right answer?
Omen.
The Omen, right.
Like, Steven Spielberg made his bones making a horror movie. Like, some of the best filmmakers. Sam Raimi made some good Spider-Man movies, all known for The Evil Dead. Like, horror filmmakers are creative, and they come up with interesting solutions when they have low budgets. Like, they don't rely on... They're filmmakers that have to rely more on creativity more often than not than just throwing money at things, which is why they make such good directors. And I'll say this to my grave, the best horror directors are ones that aren't necessarily horror directors. Like, the best horror movies are made by just good directors. John Carpenter, Steven Spielberg, Richard Donner. Like, you know, it goes on and on and on. Like, Wes Craven, those guys all made their bones in horror and moved on to bigger and better things. So I think this makes complete sense to me.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing that there is a good track record for horror directors making good movies. It just seems like, and it seems like that might be the best route for DC to take right now.
Like I said last week, a lot of these Blumhouse guys are the ones that are, Blumhouse is like, as far as like what you're spending to what you're making, Blumhouse is killing. They spend very, very little on these horror movies, and they come back with like big returns, not like Marvel style returns, but when you're spending $2 to $3 million and making 25 to 30, that's a big return on your investments.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Keep my eyes out, see if this movie actually gets made, and if this gentleman directs it.
Oh, it's never going to happen. This Flash movie is never going to happen. But I understand why.
You also wonder if it's one of those Hollywood moves, like they talk to him and he's like, yeah, I'll do that movie, because he's trying to get his foot in the door to do something else.
Sure. Yeah, that makes
also known as Ryan Reynolds, right?
Yeah. Hey, he got his Deadpool movie made.
Yep.
That is a lesson of tenacity. That dude did not give up.
Nope. And he did it for us, too.
Yeah. Much love to Ryan Reynolds.
So, and then finally, for DC, the Batman may have found its Catwoman. Vanessa Kirby is reportedly on the shortlist to play Selina Kyle. So, I've been wondering this. Do we need a Catwoman?
I don't know.
I mean, like, what do you mean, do we need a Catwoman?
Like, I don't know. There's always this push to put Catwoman and Batman together. You know, even all up to this wedding nonsense in the comics that most Batman fans hate. Like, I'm not saying don't use her, but, like, there's always a push. Like, now, there were so many people, as soon as Patterson got cast, it's like, oh, we got to get What's-Her-Face to play Catwoman. We need Catwoman, 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 Catwoman. It's like, there's been plenty of other female interests of Batman in the comics, and there's been plenty of other female characters. Like, you know?
But none have the relationship that Batman and Catwoman have, and that's been part of the characters since the get-go. Like, name another Batman love interest that has that kind of equity. And you can say Vicki Vale, but nobody, like, Vicki Vale is just thrown in there. She didn't have any comics. Like, what about, she was in the 40s, and then they brought her back for the Burton movie. Like,
well, what about Talia al Ghul?
They did that, and they also just did Talia al Ghul, too, in the last Batman movie, the, like, solo Batman movie. So I get not wanting, but they did Catwoman in the same one. But, I mean, if you do Talia, you got to go into Ra's al Ghul, and that was such the backbone of the Nolan movies. So I get them staying away from that, but I guess, I think there's just so much interest. When I say interest, I mean, like, there's so much stuff built up between those two characters and the love-hate relationship.
Part of my problem is I don't want Batman to have any kind of love interest. At least not in his first movie back, you know?
But it's a Hollywood checklist thing. You got to have a love interest. I don't like it either, to be honest with you. But I'm more interested with Catwoman, depending on how she's done. Like, and I think this casting is interesting, because it took me a second to figure out who Vanessa Kirby was. She's really good in that last Mission Impossible movie, and she's not in much of the last John Wick, but she's pretty cool in it. Like, she's talented. So,
yeah.
I'm interested, but I want to know more about what this story is before going with it. And I hear where you're coming from, but there's a lot of, I don't know if shipping is the term I would use for it, but there's a lot of interest in that character, because name me another superhero character that loves one of his greatest villains. And I think that's something key, is I don't like when they're working together. I think their relationship works better when they're on opposite sides of the law.
You mean like Spider-Man and Black Cat?
Which is a ripoff of Batman and Catwoman. Yes, I do.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
I mean, like, there's things I'd much rather see than another Batman Catwoman movie. Like, I'm not advocating for this, but I get it.
I can tell you another hero that loves one of his greatest foes, Thor and Loki.
Different.
Different.
So you're right, but it's different. And that's right. That's why their relationship is interesting, because it's that brother relationship. And you can hate your brother. There's times I want to punch my brother in the face, but I love him. You know, when it's like, but if it's my wife, it's different. You know.
You've never wanted to punch your wife in the face?
No, never.
Yeah.
I've been very frustrated. I think the other way around is frequent. but she's wanting to punch me in the face today. So, I mean, like, but I think there's more. I think there's just a different type of story you can tell with that. One that I don't, to be quite honest, I don't think has reached full potential on film.
No. No, because in the Burton movie, it was more of a flirtation thing than, you know, and of course with those Burton movies, it was like a new love interest every movie.
Right.
You know, and in the Nolan movies, it was more really of a partner. It wasn't like a love interest with her.
Right. So it's like we haven't really seen what Batman and Catwoman from the comics can be. So I get it.
All right.
John?
Sure.
Oh, come on. You're the DC guy. You have to have all the takes on this.
I want to see something new, just like you said, you know. I think they've done a lot of these to death. The constant reboots are starting to get to me. I guess maybe it's because I'm getting old. But they have to give up the reins to somebody who actually writes comic books. Let them write the story. Let them do what they want without forcing a love interest or whatever down the writer's throats, and let something stand on its own.
They need somebody who has a true love and appreciation of the comics to steer all the movies.
Jeff Johns, and for some reason that didn't work.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that's because the suits at Warner Brothers keep sticking their noses in.
But yeah. Jeff Johns is a suit from Warner Brothers. Like, that's his day job. Like, he is part of the machine.
Yeah, but I have a feeling that there's still more of, like...
There's a documentary or a book or something about what's happening over there right now, especially in the wake of this Kevin Tsujihara stuff. Like, I would love to... Like, someone's going to do, like, a late show-style book about this Warner Brothers someday, and I'm looking forward to reading it.
Yeah. You mean, like, The Late Shift?
Yeah. Did I say that?
You said late night book or something, but yeah.
I thought I said Late Shift. Yeah, that book.
Yeah, no, you're right. I want to know what goes on over there, right? Because, go back to the Burton Batman, and it was, you know, it's not a masterpiece, you know, but for the time it was really good, you know? And then the second one got a little more hokey, and then all of a sudden... Burton walks away, they give it to Schumacher, and he throws in the campiness of the 60s TV show.
And suddenly you get ice cream flying into people's faces, and oh, wait, I'm sorry, that's what they did to Donner. Over and over again, right?
No, you get the bat credit card and the bat butt and the...
Nipples.
And nipples on the suits, and it was just like...
And holy metal, Batman.
But somebody at Warner Brothers said, yes... This is a good idea. Or somebody said, this is what we want in the movies. You know, push this, push this, push this. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's just...
Well, like I said, they just need to get all the executives out of the room. Let them... let somebody who really loves the character and is a comic book writer do the actual script, you know? Maybe a couple of rewrites... with the help of editors who are other comic book writers, but just, you know, none of this, we have to have a love interest. There has to be the three act thing. There has to, you know, just like try something different because what you're doing is not working.
No. All right.
You know, maybe create another imprint for where you can have people who have different ideas, you know, come in and do things that nobody's seen before. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Oh, is it too soon? I just...
What were you going to say, JD?
I was going to say, I'll defend the three-act structure. Like, that works. Like, there's a reason why they hold that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, we got... Okay, so that's it for DC. And now we got two quick stories that... A little outside the box, but I think fans of this show would like them. So Gremlins is coming back, and it's going to be an animated series that's going to be on the Warner Media streaming service, and it's going to be a prequel series to the movies.
So Banana Splits is going to be a horror film, and Gremlins is going to be a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yes.
Boy, things have really gotten screwed up.
Yes.
Somebody went back in time and stepped on a plant. I know.
Gremlins. Did these people even see gremlins before they decided to throw them into? They only saw, was it the Mogwai or whatever his name is, Gadget or whatever.
Gizmo.
Yeah. They only saw him, right? That's all they saw. And they say, oh, let's make this Saturday morning cartoon style. Not seeing, like, all the death, destruction, and violence that happens if you feed them after midnight. Like, it's not just hijinks.
I never got that because it's always after midnight.
They make jokes about that in Gremlins, too.
Yeah, true.
So, as the child of the 80s, I saw Gremlins at the theater at 4 years old.
Oh, God.
Really? My mom took me there. And had my Gizmo stuffed animal with me. And I loved this movie. I loved it at 4. I'm sure it terrified me beyond belief. And it probably explains a lot.
Brilliant.
But this is part of, but Gremlins is also a commentary on the consumer culture of the 80s. So I'm curious to see what they do. I mean, like, I don't think it'll be a Saturday morning. It's going to be Warner Media. So I think it won't be necessarily a Saturday morning at style. Like, it won't be like the Beetlejuice cartoon.
Right.
You know, or any number of movies that were turned into cartoons in the 80s. As the anime guy, I thought you'd be a little bit more down with this idea.
Well, I mean, if it were anime, yeah. But
what do you mean, like, talking... interpretations of, like, more adult animation, you know, possibilities?
It depends on how far they go with it.
True.
I think the thing that intrigues me about it is the prequel idea behind it. Like, didn't we get enough information in that movie? I don't know. Like, are they going to show how these things came into being? If they're
how they made Earth from Krypton? And maybe they had a butler. there's like no... They're out of ideas. This has got to be the... I won't say the bottom of the barrel, because I'll say that, and some writer in some room in Warner Brothers will suddenly sit up and go, hey, I've got an idea, and it'll be much worse.
Hey, I thought we hit the bottom of the barrel when they said, let's make a live-action Dora the Explorer movie.
Actually, that looks kind of funny.
But that's one of those, like, who is this for? You know, I don't know if there's little kids that grew up watching Dora that want to watch a teenage girl run around pretending she's Dora. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, so is the person who grew up to be an executive at a studio and said, I wonder how the Gremlins started out. Let's make a prequel about that. And let's make it animated.
Yeah, you could do something cool with the Gremlins in World War II, because that's kind of where the thing comes from. And, like, the Japanese actually take it from China, and they're using it to destroy. Like, what if Pearl Harbor was done by Gremlins, actually, and they were, like, unleashing these things? See, there's a lot. There's something fun there.
I thought we already had a prequel. It was called the Twilight Zone movie.
No, you're
the
wrong.
The thing on the
wing. That was a Gremlin. You're right. Different kind of Gremlin. That's when you feed them after 6 a.m.
Well, it was either that, or if you want the animated version, there was that Bugs Bunny short.
And what about time zones?
What?
What about time zones with feeding them after midnight?
It's just a general rule, really. Like, you shouldn't feed them after dark, period. I don't know. I'm making
Don't get
up.
Them wet.
Yeah.
You live on a planet of mostly water, but don't get them wet. All right.
Their bodies are 82% water.
They want to get wet. That's how they reproduce. Mm. Like, if you're on a planet that's 80% water, wouldn't that be the best place for a creature that reproduces through osmosis?
Well, let's do Kirk Vonnegut's Cat's Cradle and just chuck one into the ocean.
I'd watch that movie.
Let's just go full all out, you know? I mean... If Kurt Vonnegut can do it with Ice Nine, let's just chuck a Mogwai into the Pacific, right?
Oh my God.
Great idea. Like Stripe would jump into like Lake Michigan, and all these millions of gremlins would flow out and invade Chicago. It would be so cool. So you see this as hatred, and I'm like fired up by this idea.
And there you go. That is what's going to replace the zombie genre. It's going to be the gremlin genre.
Which would make Warner happy. That would solve their DC problem, because then they could cash some sweet checks.
I can't see what was that. I can't see warm bodies, but with a gremlin instead of a zombie. Nobody's seen warm bodies. Okay.
No. I know the movie, but I have not seen it.
All right. Anyway,
you don't want to fall in love with a gremlin. I get it.
It's all a forbidden right. love, but she's a furry. Oh, well, then it's okay.
So you're like Shape of Gremlins.
Son of a gremlin.
All right, we've gone off the rails.
All right, well, let's bring it back with Ghostbusters.
Bring it back where? Oh, Ghostbusters, yay. Yes.
So the Reitman reboot sequel, I don't know what we're calling this. For the Ghostbusters movies has landed a new actor, and of course that is the one and only Ant-Man himself, Paul Rudd. I like this idea. I mean, he seems like an obvious choice to be in a movie like this.
Who doesn't like Paul Rudd? Yeah. I like him. I mean, is that the only person that they've cast so far? So far. Well, that's a good start. That's a really good start.
Well, like, I definitely can see him playing the Bill Murray-esque character.
I was thinking more about Ray.
The rumors are that the original cast are all coming back as well.
There's only three of them left.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You want something interesting? Gremlins and Ghostbusters came out on the same day in 1984.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so they are in the same universe.
I'm sure those two films connect somehow in the mind of that little kid from St. Elsewhere.
Oh, my God. So the Ghostbusters were actually going after gremlins.
Well,
I've watched that.
I think the smell of burnt hair.
After they jump into Lake Michigan, the Ghostbusters have to come save us.
Damn it, Dave, you're the writer on the show now.
You'd have to have proton packs because the only other way to take them out would be a nuclear warhead.
Exactly. But this way you're shooting nuclear laser beams at them.
Well, you couldn't do the nuclear warhead thing. They did that in Cloverfield.
Right. And we saw how well that worked.
They did get two sequels that may or may not be connected.
Oh my God. So yes, Paul Rudd. yeah, I know. I definitely, like, I could see him taking the Bill Murray type role. And it's good. It bodes well for the movie because with them casting comedic actors, you know, you can, you know, definitely going to try to keep it in that genre. He's not doing something weird with it, you know?
I'm surprised they're doing this so soon after the failure of the last one.
But maybe that's why they're doing it? To say, oh, this is to make all the people who were unhappy with the reboot happy now. So we're selling the movie to you, the people.
Oh. Well, we just want it to be a good movie. I don't care about whether it's men or women or a mix or what. I just want it to be a good sequel, you know?
Well, that's what we all want.
I didn't see the reboot, so I can't comment on it.
You didn't see it?
I finally watched it, and it just didn't make me laugh, you know?
I heard that. That's why I avoided it.
Again, it was tough because you got, you know, four of the funniest women in movies and comedy today, and they just had a horrible script, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you talk about with getting those execs out of the room and letting people do what they do.
Right.
Which is Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters, Dan Aykroyd doing his Dan Aykroyd thing, and then them just being them on camera.
Right. Yep. But they need to do that again. We'll see if we'll get that with this reboot. All right, guys. This has been a long one, I think.
Yep.
We're an hour 25 minutes.
Whew.
So now that everybody's left, we have this Patreon.
Patreon.com/superheroespeak. There are some, shall we say, bonus things on there that you can get. We haven't put anything up there in a while because nobody signed up for the damn thing. Don't forget.
Say that.
You can follow us on Twitter @SuperheroSpeak. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/SuperheroSpeak. You can go to our website and find all of the places you can find us. And that's superheroespeak.com, where we not only have the show every week, but we have news articles and rants and all other kinds of fun stuff. And there is a very special thing that I've been working on the last couple days that will be up soon that will be connected to our YouTube channel. And you will also find it on our website. And it's something that John has wanted for a while. And I am working on it, John, I promise. Hopefully it'll be launched with this episode. Otherwise, it'll be launched later this week.
I'm going to provide some content for that. I'm going to do a little introspective defense of Tim Burton's Batman. Because love that movie, even though if it's not very good.
Cool.
Are you going to defend nipples?
No, Tim Burton's Batman.
Oh, okay.
Or be nipples in general. I think they serve a function in
I'm gonna do one just on defending nipples and their place in society.
How about their place in biology? Defend them on their place in biology, and I'll be impressed.
Okay.
This is what happens when we go over an hour.
Man, I listened to a podcast today that was 6 hours and 13 minutes. A single podcast.
Okay.
It was a thing. Let me tell you.
Okay, that's a challenge. Our next episode is going to be 7 hours long.
There is not enough caffeine in the world.
On that note,
I don't think they recorded a single session. At least I hope not.
On that note, boys and girls, I think that's a good place to put a pin in it this week. Don't forget to tune in next week when we will have our full review and reaction to Spider-Man Far From Home. But until then, as always, thanks for listening, and don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.